Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Walking. It's good exercise. Again and again, we read that walking is one of the easiest ways to keep physically fit. But it is often so difficult to find time to walk. Of course, if we can find a friend who will walk with us, the chore of walking becomes a little easier and more pleasant. This Lenten season, we have been on a spiritual walk. Our walk is intended to keep us spiritually fit. We are walking with Jesus as he heads toward the cross at Calvary. Walking with Jesus keeps us spiritually fit as we repentantly look to him and listen to the words that he speaks. So on our journey today, we go to Jerusalem and to the temple. 2 days earlier, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode a donkey into the city while the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" In the evening, Jesus left the city and went to the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany. The next morning, he and the disciples would walk back to Jerusalem. During the day, Jesus taught in the temple, and then at night, he returned back to Bethany. When the sun rose the next day, Jesus walked again from Bethany to Jerusalem. And Mark tells us that on Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus entered the temple courts and confronted his enemies. The temple courts became the classroom for these last lessons before his death. As we walk with Jesus today, we know that he was unafraid to teach. How many times have we heard of Jesus teaching? Again and again, he taught the people. Crowds came from miles around to hear him and to witness his miracles. Once he even used Simon Peter's boat to teach a large crowd on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. As he walked along the roads of Galilee and Judea, he taught his disciples and those who joined them on the road. And what a teacher he was! He used parables, examples, and illustrations. He called himself the Good Shepherd and the Light of the World. When the disciples asked questions, he answered them. Remember when Peter asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" Jesus used that moment to teach Peter and the others about the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness that God so freely gives to all, and how God's forgiveness moves us to forgive one another. Others asked questions too. A young rich man asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" All of these questions were opportunities that Jesus took advantage of to teach his truth. Again and again, Jesus taught that he was the Savior who had come into the world. He wanted all to know why he had come. His arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion would be history by the end of that week. But we find him in the temple teaching this last time. In love, he was still teaching the lesson all sinners needed to learn. He was the Savior who had come to lay down his life to remove sin and open the gates to eternal life. However, not everyone believed in Jesus. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to Jesus early in the day on Tuesday with a question. They should have been good students of this master teacher because he spoke God's truth. But unbelief blocked their learning. They came because they wanted to know about the credentials, the authority with which Jesus was speaking. They asked, "Who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus was no stranger to them. They knew of his miracles. The region buzzed with news of each one. Only a few weeks before, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. The raising of Lazarus had not convinced them, though. Instead, it had driven them to plot the death of this teacher. Then, on Sunday, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem to the shouts of the people and had cleansed the temple of its money changers. When these Jewish leaders asked about his authority, Jesus challenged them back. He challenged them to think carefully about everything that they had seen, beginning with the ministry of John the Baptist. Jesus responded by asking them a question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. What an opportunity for them to turn from their unbelief and embrace the Word of God in John's ministry and the Lamb of God that John had identified as Jesus. But they remained in their unbelief. Their own answer condemned them. We don't know. They didn't know about John because they were afraid to admit he came from God. They didn't know about Jesus either because they couldn't admit that the one that they wanted dead was from God. They didn't know and remained in unbelief. At first, their question seemed so innocent and somewhat logical. But it was not a simple request for information. It was the beginning of a series of questions designed to discredit Jesus before the crowds that listened to him in the temple. The Jewish leaders would also ask Jesus questions about paying taxes to Caesar, about the resurrection, and about which was the greatest commandment. On each occasion, Jesus understood their intent and tried to lead them to see their own folly. But they did not learn the lesson he wanted to teach. By the end of the day, these enemies of Jesus dared not ask him any more questions. So what does Jesus want to teach us? First, he wants us to believe that he is from God and teaches the truth of God. His first and most important lesson for all of us is that he came to die for us so that he might give all sinners life through faith in him. We cannot earn forgiveness or eternal life by a lifetime of good deeds. All of that would not be enough. He had to cleanse us from the sin of his blood, finish our redemption on the cross, and overcome death by his resurrection. We have the blessings he achieved only by his grace through faith. That is the first lesson he wants us to learn. But there's another lesson too. Jesus wants us to be teachers, his witnesses in this world. So many still do not know the lesson we learned. Jesus spent time in the temple sharing the most important lesson of all during the week he would die. He recognized the importance of sharing the truth with those who did not know it. He also recognized the importance of sharing it even with those who had rejected it. He was a persistent and tireless teacher, an effective voice for truth. He wants us to be persistent, tireless teachers in our world too. Share the gospel with others. Lead them to Jesus as you walk with him. Teach your own children. Teach the children of other families. Invite others to come worship with you. Support mission work. Teach all nations. We have so much to do. So let's get to work teaching others about the Savior that we treasure. But we tend to find obstacles to teaching others about Jesus. Sometimes we're nervous and anxious about speaking with someone about him. Perhaps the biggest obstacle to teaching others is our fear of how they'll react. Even our fear of being persecuted or ridiculed. As we walk with Jesus again today and hear again of his teaching in the temple, we can learn from his example. Jesus is unafraid to teach, even right in front of his enemies. Certainly, he could have avoided this confrontation with his enemies. He was Almighty God, after all. But he had told his disciples before they left for the last trip to Jerusalem what would happen. He knew he would be arrested, spit on, and crucified. But he went resolutely to Jerusalem, where all these things waited for him. Once he arrived, he did not hide in some quiet place away from the crowds and his enemies. Instead, he appeared boldly in the temple, right there in front of all of his enemies. He knew their hypocrisy and unbelief. He knew they would cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But he warned them of their unbelief. Jesus did not soft-pedal their sins. After Jesus patiently confronted their hypocrisy and challenged them to turn from their unbelief, there was nothing left to do but announce judgment. Matthew records the list of woes Jesus spoke to these unbelievers. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Jesus always wanted to gather even those unbelievers to himself, but they refused. Among the last words of Jesus on this Tuesday so long ago are these: "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Notice the heart of this teacher. Up to the very end, he was boldly teaching the truth about salvation. He loved these sinful enemies of his and wanted them to turn away from sin and death so that they might enjoy forgiveness and eternal life, gifts that would be secured with his death. Even in the words of condemnation, this teacher warned and threatened in order to correct and teach. How devoted he was to his students, even when they rejected him and his lesson of life. But he did not excuse his rebellious students. the judgment would come. He announced it ahead of time so that they might be warned and might still turn away. We marvel at the love Jesus showed to his enemies. Jesus is more interested in turning people away from sin and unbelief than he is in bringing judgment. Surely the judgment Jesus announced did come on those who rejected him, but he boldly stood in the courts of the temple seeking the lost. Who can marvel and then give thanks? We are by nature enemies of God and deserve the punishment of his wrath. But this great teacher has sought us out and made us believers. He did not turn away from us because we disobeyed. He did not hide from us when we sinned. He taught us about his grace and mercy even when we didn't want to hear it. He taught us about forgiveness and eternal life, a lesson we could never have learned on our own. So we marvel at Jesus and give thanks for his bold and persistent concern for all sinners. But think for a moment what that means to others who still do not know Jesus. How will they learn of him? Who will teach them? That task belongs to you and me. As we see Jesus in the temple boldly witnessing, we can learn to witness boldly too. Don't run away from the opportunities to tell others about Jesus. Yes, you will face opposition in many different forms, but demonstrate the same deep concern Jesus does for his enemies. He wanted them to believe and to be saved. Without the message of forgiveness in Jesus, there is no eternal life. You and I know Jesus and what he offers. Boldly share that. We can do it as parents in our own homes. Our children need to know Jesus. Share him with your children. Grandparents have an opportunity to share Jesus too. You know, we often talk about sports or weather. Sometimes we're even brave enough to talk about politics. Don't be intimidated into staying silent about our Lord Jesus Christ. As a church, we have the challenge of sharing Jesus with our community. As a synod, we come together to share the word of Jesus Christ with the world. But you ask, what about the results? Go back to Jerusalem and the temple. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus and they killed him. Notice that Jesus did not transform their hearts by his power. He could have done that, but he did not. He simply spoke the word. That is the way he worked, and the way we must work too. The Holy Spirit works through the word. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two men on the Jewish council, they believed. The thief on the cross, he believed. The words of Jesus did not change everyone, but they did bring some to faith. So speak boldly about Jesus. Some may reject your witness, but God the Holy Spirit can work through your witness to bring others to faith. Think what the example of Jesus meant for the disciples who walked with him. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they were to be witnesses throughout the world. And what happened to them? Almost all of the original 12 disciples died as martyrs. Perhaps they remembered the example of Jesus boldly proclaiming the gospel even to his enemies a few days before those same enemies crucified him. We can be thankful that the disciples shared Jesus so boldly, because we are believers through their words. When you are tempted to remain silent, think of Jesus, and then think of the disciples. Who knows how the Holy Spirit will use your witness?